Giri saw the Ganath turning to renew its attack. Throwing caution to the winds, he ran out from where he and his companions were sheltering behind the gate. Flinging himself bodily on the Ganath, he kicked, pummeled and punched the startled bird, yelling,
"Get out, you big bully! Out of our abbey!"
The Ganath stumbled, regained its balance and dealt Giri a vicious peck which pierced his ear. Brinty came dashing to the aid of his friend. His assault on the foe bird was so sudden that he forced it out the gates onto the path. Shaking with fright, but amazed at his own audacity, the young mouse turned, waving and grinning at the red wallers who were pouring across the lawns.
Red wall! We did it!
No beast was prepared for what happened next. Behind Brinty's back, a young rat leaped out of the ditch on the opposite side of the path. He was brandishing a crude sword fashioned from a scythe blade. The rat struck Brinty down with one cruel slash.
Told you I'd pay you back some day, didn't I?
It was Grofgut, leader of the young water rat gang. He turned to run but was stopped by the lance of Corian. Skipper had thrown it true and hard. Grofgut stared stupidly at the lance sprouting from his chest. Then he fell dead without a sound. The Ganath had stumbled into the ditch. The screams emanating from there indicated that he had at last found food, the remainder of the water rat gang. Brink Greyspoke, the first red waller to reach Brinty, carried him hastily into the gatehouse. Giri and Sribsy followed him anxiously. Skipper went to retrieve the lance and found it broken for the second time. Grofgut had fallen clumsily, his weight having knocked the lance sideways, causing it to snap. Picking up the broken halves, Skipper pushed Grofgut's carcass into the ditch. It fell in a heap on two other bodies, Plugtails and Frog Eyes. The Ganath glared up at the otter who had disturbed its grisly feast. The otter chieftain met its gaze with narrowed eyes.
"Here's another one for you. I suppose the rest have run off. Well, no matter, mate. You carry on with your victuals, then go and track 'em down. Easy meat, eh? But I warn you, bird, show your beak in Redwall again, and I'll slay you."
The Ganath got the message. It watched Skipper stride back into the abbey grounds and lock the gate. The big bird gave a satisfied squawk and returned to its gruesome fare. Skipper could not bear to go into the gatehouse. He skirted the doorway, which was packed with shocked red wallers who could not get inside. Brink was sitting on the west wall steps, weeping unashamedly.
"Poor young Brinty, he didn't stand a chance, Skip."
The otter sat down beside his friend, at a loss to say something about the untimely death of Brinty. He dropped the broken halves of the lance into Brink's lap.
"At least I got the scum who murdered him. This lance is wrecked, mate. Cellar hogs are good at carpentry. Do you think it could be repaired?"
Sniffing loudly and scrubbing a paw across his eyes, Brink strove to get back to normality. He inspected the broken ends closely.
"Mayhaps I could, Skip. 'Tis only the wood in the middle come adrift from this silver sleeve once been holding it together. Here, what's this? Something jammed inside the sleeve."
Brink tapped the tube of beaten silver against the wall step until a piece of yellow metal protruded from its end. He took a grip of the metal in his strong, blunt claws.
"You hold on to the sleeve, Skip. I'll get this out."
Skipper grasped the sleeve tightly whilst Brink jiggled the thing free. It was a slender circlet of pure gold which had been squashed flat to fit inside the sleeve. Set into the gold was a big green stone of uncanny brilliance.
"Ever together the two have been set since Coriam's lance et the coronet."
They looked up, discovering old Quelt as the speaker.
"What you have there, my friends, is the crown of the High Queen Rulane."